while Ardsdale Baptist Church brings you the Word of God with practicality and simplicity. As you listen to this message, we trust that it will equip and empower you to find and fulfill your purpose.
So I've been given a theme and the famous last words of Jesus, and this one is called, "It is finished." I love that. It is finished. I don't know if there's any other word he said after that, but he said, "It is finished." Hallelujah. And that is taken from John 19, verse 30. I use glasses to read. Sometimes I'm on and off, and I want to try and read without using my glasses. But if you see me putting it back on, it's because maybe I just can't see so clearly. So John 19, 30 says, "When Jesus, therefore, had received the vinegar, he said, 'It is finished.' And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost." The TPT translation puts it this way. "When he had sipped the sour wine, he said, 'It is finished, my bride.' Then he bowed his head and surrendered his spirit to God." So Jesus is saying to you and I this morning, and he said it over 2,000 years ago, that concerning our life, concerning everything that we're going through or might go through, it is finished. Do you know what that means? It raises a question. What does he mean, "It is finished"? Another song bubbles up in my heart. But I wanted to sing that so that you're not struggling. You're not laboring. You're not trying to do extra curriculum or extra activities to let Jesus accept you. Jesus says, "It is finished." And of course, I had to ask the Lord, as I was going, "What do you mean?" As if I didn't know, but I wanted to ask him, "What do you mean, it is finished?" And one of the scriptures, we may be opening to scriptures today, briefly, and I'm going to stay within the time frame. I'm not going to do everlasting ministration, except you would know that this is the leading of the Lord. You yourself would know that. What is finished? Can we just open to 1 John chapter 3, verse 8? We may have to look at scripture. It's going to be a mixture of both, charging you with the words of exhortation and also opening to the scripture. It says in 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, "He that committed sin is of the devil, for the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." Did you hear that? "For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." So what I'm trying to say to you there is that when Jesus Christ says it is finished, he was literally telling us that though he has destroyed the works of the devil. Over your life, over my life. And where did the works of the devil start? We all knew it started even in the Garden of Eden. Genesis chapter 3 verse 15 says, I hope you brought your Bible. We can't be a Christian and not have our Bible. That's the sword of the spirit. That's what we would use in fighting the enemy. It's not our emotions cannot fight the enemy, no way. Our thinking is too small to deal with the devil. But this sword of the spirit, you must sharpen it every day. Sharpen it in your mind, in your thought, in your... And when we even come before the Lord, that is the weapon of our warfare that we need to go out there and maintain that it is finished. What Christ has done it for you, for me, is completed. We don't need to do anything extra apart from standing. Can I hear you say stand? That's it. So John, Genesis chapter 3 verse 15 says, "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your heel, and you shall bruise his heel." Jesus Christ bruised the head of Satan when at the cross, when he said, "It is finished." The Bible says if he had known, he would not have crucified the Lord of glory. I don't know what we're struggling with, but the Lord told me some things that we're still struggling with as Christians. But Jesus is here to tell you today, it is finished. If you will believe him as one of the last words of Jesus Christ, you will find that there's going to be a great transformation and deliverance over your life concerning that one thing that refuses to be finished. I decree over you, it is finished in Jesus' name, whatever that might be. Amen?
Amen.
Satan has no right over your life or your seed after your salvation if you have truly given your life to Christ. And I felt the presence of God here. I could relate to so many things here. I felt that I was coming home as well. It didn't matter whether it's Poland's Hill or whether it's Kingdom Arena, the presence of God, the way you were led to pray, to reflect on your life and do everything, and the way we were even asked to give something. By the way, my birthday was the 2nd of July. Let me put that one in. So I'm a July baby too. And I'm proudly 61 years. That's what I turned on there. I'm proudly so. No, nothing to be ashamed about. Amen. You can see how dark my ear is as well. You know what I mean. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Okay, so Satan has no right over your life, over my life, over your seed after salvation. His rule and reign over you and your seed was broken at the cross and completed when Jesus says, it is finished. And we need to exact that in our life. We need to really uphold that word that Jesus Christ said when he said, it is finished. We also need to hang on to that and say, no, it is finished. It is over. Hallelujah. So the government of Jesus Christ is what should be reigning in your life. And what is that government? It's the government that is wonderful. The government that is of the Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. That government is what should be ruling in your life. No other government. No other government deserves, no other throne, nothing else in your life deserves to sit on the throne of your heart. Because Jesus Christ said, it is finished. And we need to believe him for that. Amen?
Amen.
So one of the things I was thinking of was how was it finished? We all knew how it was finished. It was finished on the cross. What exactly did Jesus Christ do for us? The Bible says in Isaiah 53, verse 4 to 5, I just want to lay foundation before I share my testimony of what I mean. Surely, the Bible says, he bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. Surely he did. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. I don't know what affliction you might be under now. I don't know what grief or what has stricken you that you cannot talk to people about. But Jesus completed that work at the Calvary and said, it is finished concerning you and I. So please flow with me. But the Bible says in verse 5, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we were healed. You know, Jesus made so many declarations about what he came to the earth to do. Let me remind you, Luke chapter 4, verse 18 to 21, you may just write the scriptures down because there are several. I just wanted to give you things that you can go back and check to see whether it really means what he said. I might see from this perspective, God may give you a deeper revelation of what it actually means to you as an individual. Luke 4, 18 to 21 says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. That is all the things Jesus Christ came to do in the short life he lived upon the earth. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Jesus Christ said this is what he had come to do. This was what was completed at the cross for you and I, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. I love that. That is deep, and I cannot do any you know, I cannot fully unravel everything within a few minutes. And I'm even waiting for more revelation of what that means. Verse 19, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book and he gave it again to the minister and sat down. Again, that is so much loaded. So many people would say sitting down is almost like saying, I've completed, I've come to complete the task. That's one of the schools of thoughts about why he had to sit down. The Bible doesn't just mention things. He mentioned it deliberately for you to pause and think about that. What is he trying to say? He's trying to say, I am the fulfillment of that. That's what Jesus Christ said, and I believe that. Verse 21, and he began to say unto them, this day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears. I mean, that just throws, I'm sure the Pharisees, Sadducees, the chief scribes and whatever were probably going riotous at that moment, which they did throughout his life. Hallelujah. Well, you know, Jesus had disciples. You and I are his disciples. Now that we've given our life to Jesus Christ and we're walking with him. And he had to unpack those scriptures. I'm just going through very quickly. And one of the ways in which he unpacked the scriptures is from Matthew chapter 5, again, make a note of that, verses 1 to 12, what he meant when he said, it is finished. I have done what I need to do for you upon the earth, but it's left for you and I to exact the kingdom of God. As it is in heaven, let thy kingdom come, let your will be done. That we don't take no from an answer from the enemy who is always contending with the place of Christ in our life. So Matthew chapter 5 verse 1 to 12 says, and seeing the multitudes, he went up into a hill, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You and I remember when I was so poor in spirit, you also would know, and perhaps there is someone in the church here today, you don't even know what spirituality is all about. You are so confused. You don't even know your left from your right. You believe this. In fact, some people these days, there's something called Chrislam. They believe in everything, you know, all joined together. That's a lot of confusion. But Jesus Christ said to us there that blessed are the poor in spirit. It takes humility to say, I don't understand where I am, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So it says, and he opened his mouth and taught them, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And he went on and on about those who are blessed. I just want to say, you are blessed when you are going through any of these things. And you are smart enough and humble enough to admit it. Then yours will be the kingdom of heaven. It's very important that we learn to admit. Let me tell you a little bit about what I am getting from the scriptures, which I can't elaborate in a short service day like this. I just told you that I am Bola Ogedengbe. As I was introduced, I was born 2nd of July, 1965. I was born actually in Liverpool, and I left Liverpool, I was taken away from Liverpool by ship in 1971. So I was just going to six when we left Liverpool. But prior to leaving Liverpool, I remember some certain things. It's amazing how our memory as a kid is so strong. I remember that somebody came to our door one day, it was just like a shadow at the door, like this kind of door, was knocking. My parents were not in. But I remember that I was a little bit fidgety. You know, there was the trauma to say, should I open the door or not open the door? But I didn't open the door. I stood. That stays with me for some reason. I also remember going through a corner, and I felt I saw a shadow of somebody following me. I'm just saying this to put things in perspective for my life of how the Lord has always got his eyes on us, and he has been keeping us, and he has preserved you and I up until there. And you, a lot of you can testify to the goodness and to the mercy of God in your life. Anyway, like I said, I was taken to Africa. My dad was left behind. I went with my mom and my two other siblings, because my mom had a child before she left, which was being looked after by my grandmother. She's now here, my big sister. But what I'm saying is that after I got in and we started growing up in a different culture, I learned the language very quickly. I was there for 21 years. After that, I was about 21 when I came back to England in 1987. But I know what I went through, the trauma. The trauma of domestic abuse, my mom and dad fighting off here and there. Maybe they were doing that before I left as a child. I can't remember. But then I was also very thirsty, and I got involved in all sorts of things. I got involved with Zodiac because I was looking for truth. I was looking for something somewhere. I just wanted to explain life by philosophy, that maybe people who are bad, we should just drag them, which I didn't even realize that I was bad myself. I was just looking for truth. I was thirsty. Zodiac sign, I knew it like the back of my palms tree. I could tell you what your Zodiac sign was talking to you. I thought, you know, if Sagittarius meets this one, maybe they can connect together. Even my mom and dad, I did it on them. Mom, you are Pisces. Daddy, you are Sagittarius. If you can just know your strengths and weaknesses. That I was so thirsty. I was so desperate. I was also, along the way, as a young child, sexually molested by the handmaids. All sorts of things that happened to you in the secret that you cannot share with any other person. I went through all that, even almost molested by a cousin as well. All those things really form and shape our life. They are called what we call acquired childhood traumas that you can't talk to anybody about. There are deeper things that has happened to us that are like secret things that only the Lord knows, but you are not able to express it before anybody. And sometimes some of us are still relieving those sort of issues, even in our Christian walk up until this day. When it comes to masturbation, what is that? You can not masturbate and go and tell anybody that I'm masturbating. And all sorts of iniquity. This is what we call classic. The Bible says it was bruised for our iniquity, our twistedness, things that are under. You know, when you have a bruise, you can see it under. It's not always on the open. The Bible, yeah, it was wounded for our transgression, but bruised for our iniquities. So many things had really twisted us in our growing up days. And I know the impact they also had on me as a young person. By the way, I do practice as a health visitor, even up until now. Many people have children under the age of 5. We look after your baby, we come around to see you. And I just love the profession because it helps me to see the profile of people. And without even telling them about Jesus, I give them the love and the warmth of Jesus. I let them know that I'm interested in you, interested in your life, whichever way I can help. Muslim, Buddhist, it doesn't matter their background. Everybody needs to know that they are loved and they are worthy. So that even if the husbands that they put on the sidetrack, I ask, where is daddy? Because he's the foundation of them. That is just by digressing. So I went through all the sort of issues in my life that shaped me and broke me. And like we all do, all of us have a story. I'm telling you my story because you have a story. But behind your story, there is the Lord's glory. And Jesus Christ said, it is finished. It is finished. So that some of these things that I've just mentioned in a nutshell, I was delivered from them without even needing anyone to put their hands on me. So like I said, I was craving. I was thirsty. I was looking for truth. I wanted to study philosophy. I just wanted to understand why I am here, what is going on upon the earth. And lo and behold, 1986, by the grace of God, heard the gospel repeatedly. And one scripture that stayed with me, that makes the word of God complete in my life, and it takes the word of God to be complete in your life, for you to see things that Jesus, when Jesus Christ said, it is finished, it is finished. It doesn't change his mind. Was this guy just kept saying to me, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. I didn't add to you that, yes, I was brought up in a Muslim background. My family lineage were Muslims, but then they took us to a Catholic school for whatever reason, because they believe Catholic schools are better schools, you know, whatever. And I didn't get saved there. I didn't know Christ as a Muslim. But he said to me, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And that was what makes the difference. It's not just a way. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the lie. And I went back into the dormitory and I was thinking about that, but I didn't know that. You know, it's on reflection is what I'm saying. So lo and behold, in that season of Easter 1986, I gave my life to Jesus Christ in a village in Nigeria, a town, not a village. I follow the lady to a church called the Four Square Gospel Church. Anybody heard about the Four Square Gospel Church? That was the church I got saved very early in the morning. The congregation were not as big much as this, but the man of God, I remember the scripture that was preached on that day, amazingly. Yes, I'm talking about since 1986. I remember. The Holy Spirit is in your service and is in this place and is here to deliver, to heal, to save. Is here to comfort, is here to heal you. So let's not despise the gathering. I don't know whether people despise the gathering on that day, but the power of God was in that small congregation that morning. And I walked in and I sat down because I was invited, obviously, to go there. I sat down. As soon as I sit down, the tears were flooding. I took myself to the restroom. I said, come on, Bola, do your face. We don't do makeup in my days. We were just beautiful lords, you know. Our children these days, everything, all the makeup, no. We didn't have time. They're just a little bit of powder and a bit of lipstick. And I said to myself, come on, stop crying. You should be okay. Stepped in again, the floods, the Holy Spirit. I didn't know what that was, the Holy Spirit. Just flooded the whole room. And the little short man that I can never know, except maybe in eternity, he said, come. Those of you who are hungry, who are thirsty, Isaiah chapter 55, verse 1 to 5 was the scripture of the day. And I tell you, I was hungry. I was thirsty. I was looking for something. And I didn't know where it was. And on that blessed morning, I moved forward. And of course, the enemy in my mind, oh, why would you do that? Oh, do you need to do that? I said, I need to try this. I said it to myself. I need to try this. So I went forward, gave my life to Christ, and, you know, like any other person, I knew the work was done within my heart, and I went home. And I had peace that passes all understanding. That is part of what Jesus Christ was telling us that he had come to do. Peace that you can't explain it. And then, of course, I laid on my dormitory bed, and I was thinking, and I said, oh, my God, it must be because I'm a good girl. It must be because I'm so nice. Maybe I was a moralist, but I was a sinner and a deep, deep sinner. And I've just told you some of the things that I went through as a child. And as I was contemplating that and thinking, you know, thinking myself good, I just opened the Bible again just to read. And lo and behold, I opened to a book called Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 to, well, maybe from verse 7 to about 8. And he said, it is by grace you have been saved, not of yourself, not of works, lest any man should boast. I'm paraphrasing. Brethren, I shut the Bible and add another good cry of repentance. But my God, I first now understood what grace meant, that it's not by works of righteousness, but by his grace that I have been saved. So brethren, this is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior for what he said when he said on the cross, it is finished. And it's still being worked out progressively in my life. And I'm open to it because God has not done with us yet. The Bible says God is at work in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And he that begun the good work in you, he is faithful to complete it. So we need to give him room. We need to give him space in our life to continue to walk what he has said when he said on the cross, it is finished. I just want to touch a little bit about bruises. I felt so heavy in my heart about that concerning Poland's Hill Church. Some of you have been bruised over the years in your growing up. You've not even dealt with those issues. Those issues are playing up even in your matrimonial home, something that you've been battling. You're not able to articulate it. Let me tell you, some bruises, you don't even know the source of them. I'll give you an example of what I mean by that when I say trauma or bruises. You know, children, and we were shown a video in one of my trainings of a parent, a couple sitting in a place like Costa Coffee. You know, when you go to Costa Coffee, it's so full of aroma of coffee. And they sat there, both of them, and they were talking, and this little child was strapped to the pushchair. And as they were talking, there was a big bang on the table. They were arguing. And of course, the child was traumatized by that. They wouldn't have known. Everybody went their way. Any time this child eventually became, when the child became an adult, any time they're in the coffee area, trauma. They just begin to feel uncomfortable, and they can trace it. It's not that, you know, coffee, that's a side effect of coffee. But what I'm saying is that some things that are bruises that Jesus Christ paid for in your life, some of you are still contending with it. You're still dealing with it. Some of you are dealing with depression. Some of you are probably, well, one of you is on Prozac. But Jesus paid the price. I'm not saying you shouldn't take medication, but when we were being led to pray, somebody was saying, think about these things. Philippians 4 verse 8, I think it was quoted. Anything that is admirable, anything that is worthy of praise, anything that is of good report. So such a person, it would be better for you to really eat the word deliberately. Put it on your window sillies, wherever you could see the word. Let the word walk, because it's not by works of righteousness. It's not by any extra effort that we can make. There's no extra effort you and I can make like what Jesus Christ had totally made for us at Calvary. Can I have you say amen to that? Amen. Unforgiveness. Please let go. Let go. Let go and let God. That also came up in my heart to admonish you about when it comes to bruises. Some of you have been bruised psychologically, mentally. Some of you still recall how that teacher, that auntie said whatever they did to you in your childhood. The enemy is using that as a blockade in your life. But Jesus says it is finished. All that he described to come and do, he had completed it at Calvary. There's nothing extra that you and I need to do than to believe the word of Christ concerning our life. Can I have you here say amen to that? Can we just close our eyes and just begin to talk to the Lord about what you've heard and begin to think about it, how what Christ has done, how it needs to undo certain things that the enemy is trying to do in your life. The song says, we have overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of the Lamb of the Lord, we have overcome. If you've struggled with depression, the power is broken over you in the name of Jesus. Jesus wants to free you from that dependence on that. He wants you to depend on his word. He wants you to believe it is finished. He wants you to know that you are complete in him. You are complete in him. You are complete in him.
We trust that you've been blessed and believe that this message has brought you greater understanding. For more information, or to follow up on what you've heard in this message, visit us on www.phbc.org.uk. God bless you.